Wait for it.
Hello! That's right, we're back live. We're broadcasting on Facebook Live and Periscope.
Multitasking.
If you're just listening to this off the website, you already missed it. Welcome to Bacon Smiles Podcast number 21. Wow, we have done quite a few of these.
Yeah.
As always, I'm Steve Patera, Bacon Smiles Ministry, joined by my good friend,
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Awesome. All right, man, we got a pretty packed podcast. Say that 10 times fast. Pretty packed podcast.
I can't say it once right. I'm not going to try it a few times.
All right, so we're going to go over a few things. We got Lent coming up next week, Wednesday. Wow.
Believe it or not, I feel like we just celebrated Christmas last week.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy to think about how fast this year is already going by.
Yeah.
You know, we're in the end of
February
already, next week, like March. Wow. Valentine's Day was last week.
Mm-hmm.
You have a pretty awesome article on six ways to help a friend who's dealing with some self-harm issues and things that kind of go along with that. So awesome. We also want to touch on the fact that this year is going by quick, and every year, part of our youth ministry goes away to college.
Right.
So want to talk about how that affects the ministry. My confirmation class had their service project at the Immaculate Conception.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Men's shelter on Saturday. So want to touch on that a little bit. You and I on Friday night, the night before.
Crazy night.
Yes.
Laser tag.
Laser tag from midnight to 6 a.m. Yeah. We'll talk about that in a minute. You got some music.
Right. Yep. Some exciting news about music.
And our saint of the day is Saint Polycarp, a martyr in the church. And we'll talk about how he became a saint. Mm-hmm. And then we have a pretty awesome food-related news of the weird. We'll just tease with that.
if food's involved, you know it's going to be good.
All right. So let's just jump right into this. Lent. Next week.
From today.
What do you think you're giving up for Lent?
Well, the last 2 years, I was super, super hard myself and gave up music and radio in the car. And
That's so difficult. We talked about this on the podcast.
I don't know if I can do that a third year. So being that I'm getting married later on this year, I was thinking, you know, what can I give up that'll be good practice for me for preparing myself for marriage and becoming a better person?
Okay.
So I think what I'm going to work on is no complaining. I'm going to try not to complain at all, even thoughts. You know, nothing that I'm saying, nothing that I'm thinking. And, you know, speak up if I think, you know, I have suggestions for something, but just be more thinking of suggestions than just negativity and complaining.
Oh, that's awesome. It's super difficult. A lot of times you get bogged down into negative headspace, and people who are complaining around you can kind of drag you down into it. It's kind of like that mob mentality.
Right.
What's that saying? Sadness always wants company.
Misery always wants
company. So we can commiserate together, and it's a really good thing to try to.
Thank you.
Stay positive every day.
What about you?
The past few years I've given up alcohol altogether, which is funny because then what it does is it makes you realize how much alcohol is in our culture, it's in so many advertisements. It's on
billboards. You can't avoid it. You just drive by it on the highway.
So. I may do that again. I don't know. I definitely every single day want to, make sure I'm having an active scripture and prayer life. So, some kind of Lenten Bible study, I think I might look into, because that would be pretty awesome. And yeah, so that's what I think. It's a good way to spend Lent. Some kind of getting closer to God. That's the whole point of it. You know, this giving up something that's, you know, chocolate or food or sweets or something like that. Trying to go a little deeper this year than that.
Now, what are your thoughts on this? Because every now and then I hear these thoughts and these rumors that go around of, well, we can give something up for Lent, but it's okay to partake in what we gave up on Sundays.
I'm not okay with it.
Yeah, I don't believe that. That it's like some sort of rule people say.
I've also heard Fridays, because you're also giving up fish on, or giving up meat on Fridays, right, which is super difficult for me, by the way. I have like a solid meat diet. I'm a meatitarian.
Right.
The only reason people say that is because in the 40 days and 40 nights, Sundays don't count in those 40 days and 40 nights. So. Right. Then it doesn't count on giving it up. But it's all of Lent. Lent doesn't pause on Sundays. Right. So
Jesus didn't walk out of the desert for that one day a week.
No. So I would say if you're going to make a commitment for all of Lent, stick with all of Lent.
Yeah.
You know? So
gives you bragging rights afterwards, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You know?
I did the whole way.
All right. So Valentine's Day last week.
Yeah.
Did you do anything special?
I did. It was funny because I was looking at things to do and I was trying to brainstorm something, and Jen said, you know, I'd be okay with Five Guys burgers and fries and watching a movie at home. And my initial thought was, I know I'm marrying the best girl in the world, but she just skyrocketed in my mind. And then my instant response after that was, it's a trap. She set me up. And so then I'm thinking, well, maybe I'll do this. And I'm thinking of all these things. And then I talked to a good friend of mine who I explained the situation. He said, you know what? You'd be surprised. You know, some girls, some women, when they say something like that, they really mean it.
Yeah, absolutely.
They don't mind something that's a little more simple as long as the effort is in there.
Yeah. Well, even I actually didn't do anything for Valentine's Day. I didn't actually get to see her. You know, we talked on the phone and stuff like that. But it's just a day. You know, it's this fabricated holiday. Mm-hmm. I love Eva every day. Mm-hmm. I hope that she knows that every day. So to have a day that you're just supposed to show it for that one day doesn't really make sense. And I think we both kind of agreed on that. Mm-hmm. And when she was like, listen, I don't want to do anything for Valentine's Day this year, I took her at her word. And I just posted something nice on Facebook.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah, no, that was a very nice post.
So, yeah, I just... Valentine's Day is a very weird day, in general. So, like I said, I love my fiance every single day.
Yeah,
I appreciate her every single day. She's amazing. She's beautiful. She's caring. She's loving, and I pretty much know that she knows that. Yeah. I was about to say I hope that she knows that, but I know that she knows that, and that's why she will be my wife. I just think. Just having one day to show that is not appropriate.
You know, it was interesting. One thing I did see more often than usual on my Facebook and Twitter feeds is more of my friends talking about the actual Saint Valentine.
Yeah,
and that was refreshing. You know, talking about the original Valentine's Day and
and the actual saint who was also a martyr.
Right.
Horrendously killed, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, it was really bad. But it was funny because his last, where the Valentine card came from, he wrote that to the jailer's daughter.
Oh, yeah?
Allegedly, he became good friends with the jailer's daughter and helped cure her blindness. Just prayed and prayed and prayed, and then all of a sudden her vision came back. And before he was taken away, he wrote a little card to her that said, "From your Valentine."
Wow.
And so that's, according to, you know, legend, that's how that began. So if anyone writes you a card and says, "Will you be my Valentine?" it's a little creepy because you're suggesting that you're going to get martyred.
In a terrible, horrible way.
So it's
funny that it is funny that we celebrate is Valentine's Day. And
well, you mentioned that at the last podcast.
This poor man.
As we were prepping, I was saying, well, Valentine's is coming up next week. You want to talk about that? Oh, yeah, the saint that was martyred, dragged through the streets.
Oh, horrible.
Poor guy.
But an amazing man.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Miracles and all that. So just truly awesome. So kind of we talked about last time your call to service and everything like that. Yeah. And so we also, you know, talked about ways that you can go out and serve and call to mission. And so my class this Saturday went to the homeless shelter in Hartford. Mm-hmm. And it was really amazing to see young people step up. A bunch of my class members were actually not able to come. And so your sister and your dad,
she loved it,
were there, and two other members from my class were there, and then three young people from St. Bridget's also came.
Nice.
So along with the peer ministers and a couple of parents that helped out, a volunteer from St. Bridget as well, and their a confirmation teacher from there helped out. So it was really awesome to see this group come together from both worship spaces, which is now one parish. We are merging, so I think it's easier to say we are one parish, but two churches.
Right, and that's what the staff is starting to say too, and just emphasize on that. We're one corporation, but we have two worship sites.
And see, I just don't like the term corporation.
Right.
We are one parish of St. Bart's and St. Bridget's, and we just happen to have two awesome churches to celebrate masses and everything in. So it was really awesome to see the youth ministry program to come together that night and serve, you know, 70-something homeless men and feed them food. And we baked a ridiculous amount of ziti and served a lot of it, had tons of leftovers to keep there for the next day and lunch and everything the next day. So
how did the men react?
They loved it. They're always great and they're always appreciative. This is probably the 10th year that I've done it in a row. And it's a great, great experience every time. It was a little rough for me this time because I was up for like 20 hours the day before.
I was like, where's this going? I remember.
So it was a little rough on me that night because the night before I had to, you know, dominate in laser tag. Just
although
saying.
I gotta say that that teen versus adult match was pretty intense. The fact that they still won over us.
Barely. And I felt really bad in that one because there's just so many of them just were giving up and just like, I don't want to play anymore. You guys are mean.
It was getting late. They were getting tired.
Yeah. And yeah, that game was at 4 a.m. after playing 4 hours of laser tag.
And we still lost.
I have to say, my favorite victory of the night was the first game because I came in first place. Because
you hid.
No, well, you can't hide and win. I got into a perfect spot and was just sniping people. I had the most points by far in that round. And, you know, sometimes as the adult, you got to show them how it's done.
That's right.
That's all I'm saying.
That's right.
I am not a participation trophy kind of guy. I do not let teenagers win. Sometimes they need to know what defeat feels like. And as a youth minister, I think that's my role sometimes.
I think the funniest thing was when we were resting in between games, just sitting there in the lobby. And this kid's on his cell phone talking to either one of his friends or his family members. It's like, oh, yeah, we just finished a round. It was crazy. Like, just freaking out over it. It was intense. I was sitting there laughing.
Yeah, it was.
Wiping sleep out of my eyes.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. And just an overall just really great experience to show kids that they can have fun and just, show our teenagers, I shouldn't say kids, our young people that they have the ability to have fun in a safe atmosphere.
And church friends.
Yeah, and the church family is just such an amazing part. And, it's so awesome to see them grow and stuff like that. And that was also part of the reason why we wanted to talk about the youth ministry as a whole. But those events, laser tag, we've done rollerblading and stuff. And to have those community gathering events that are just fun. And it doesn't have to be what society's norm of a fun Friday night right. is, which is not normally spent with your church family. and that's what we try to, as our youth ministry team, that's what we try to expose our young people to, is the positive
right.
of life and yeah. good, clean, fun. And sometimes that is your youth minister shooting you relentlessly with a laser gun.
I loved it as soon as the Star Wars theme came on. I just went, yes!
The sheer number of times I heard, Steve, stop killing me.
Well, what was funny for me was when we were getting ready for that adult teen match.
Yeah.
And I just looked at you and Steve, and I said, what if I put my sweater on over my vest?
He looked like he had the weirdest physical attributes of any human on the planet. So, Evan normally looks like, you know, like an earthworm in a t-shirt.
I turn sideways, nobody sees me.
Especially sitting next to me.
Yeah.
I got a nice athletic build.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're in shape.
Well, I'm a
circle.
Yeah. I'm a bit husky, if you will.
I love
all those terms: fluffy, husky, chubby. I enjoy food. That's all I'm gonna say.
But yeah, Steve, and you looked at me and you were just laughing. So I was like, all right, they're not saying no. So I put my sweater on over my gear, and only my gun's visible. And as we start lining up, Elena looks at me and goes, Where's your vest? And I just went, and then I said, you know, I lifted up. She goes, that's not fair. I said, well, we have unlimited lives. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But throughout the whole game, people were running up to me, shooting me, and go, wait, where's your vest? That's not fair. That's cheating. But so I was funny. Still getting hit through the sweater, so it didn't matter.
Yeah, it didn't matter anyway. It was just funny because that, like I said, that game was the one that I felt bad about. But the rest of the games, if there was any free-for-alls, other than shenanigans of them, one person's trying to just catch some Z's and someone is just relentlessly shooting them for points. But I digress.
Yeah.
It's still just an awesome, amazing night of community and the ability to get together. And, you know, those friendships form in that community like that. And it's just a huge
like ours.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
It's been 15 years now since I've been a freshman in high school, and I get to hang out with you here in your spare bedroom doing a podcast, so it's pretty cool.
Yeah, this year will be 15 years since I graduated from high school, so 15 years ago I was a senior in high school while you were a freshman in high school. Yeah, getting old.
All right, let's move on.
Well, you know what, seamless transition.
I know.
Seniors this year.
This year.
What? Professional broadcaster right here. So it's always that hard transition in the program of our senior peer ministers leaving, junior peer ministers becoming senior peer ministers, and in that new crop of peer ministers coming in. And it's also just, you know, as I just worry about our peer ministers going off to college and the stresses that they face and just the world.
Yeah.
You know, it's a scary place out there right now, and everything that's going on and the culture that's out there. And, you know, you want to make sure that everyone, you know, is in a good place and going to continue their relationship with God, and how important it is to stay connected to your church family. You know, it's a very important thing, because your senior year is super important. We were talking about before, you know, letters of recommendation and the applying. And by this point, you will probably already have heard back from most of the schools that you apply to. Maybe you're waitlisted at one and all this other stuff, and you get super stressed out. And I see it year after year. And it's funny because no matter how many colleges a young person gets accepted to, the ones that they don't is all they think about. even if they get accepted to their number one, like the school that they really wanted to go to, but they get, you know, waitlisted on another one, they're like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Or it's like they get a scholarship to one school, but they're still waiting to hear back from their number one. It's just this super stressful time, and you just... You want to be there for them, you know,
right.
and just it's just amazing to see it year after year. It's the same, you know. The technology changes, the way you apply to college changes, but it's still the same stress. It's still the same stuff, and you know, it's that worry that I have for the kids in our program. I keep calling them kids, the teenagers in our program.
It's a habit I'm trying to break out of too.
Yeah, because they're not. It's not like they're. Children, they're not three
they're
years
young
old.
Adults now.
You know, it's as they go into college and they go into the you know the young adult groups and college ministries and stuff like that. You want them to keep that, you know, those bonds and still reach out and talk with, you know, each other, because the great thing about this technology is the ability to stay connected to each other while you're not right next to each other. That is the benefit of Snapchat and Facebook Live and Periscope, and the fact that you can hang out and see each other and do all these amazing things to stay connected. You know, that's when a snap streak actually matters, is when you can't see that person every day. Having a snap streak with someone that you literally see in person every day doesn't matter. Just going to say that out there to you people out there on the... But if you have a snap streak with someone that you don't see every day, that matters, because you get that opportunity to see their face and see their reaction and interact with each other on a different level. And that's really cool. That's kind of like the purpose of social media for good, and use it. So we hope that you stay connected and stay on top of each other, and reach out when you're in need, and be there for each other. And that really kind of goes into our next topic of how, you know, supporting friends who struggle with self-harm. You have a pretty awesome article.
Yeah, this was an article I spotted the other day on To Write Love on Our Arms Facebook page. And it was just kind of a neat article. It was talking about 6 tips for supporting a friend who struggles with self-harm and intrusive thoughts. And starts off with text them with a simple text saying, stay strong, love you, can mean a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just being, like you said, being in touch with social media, just reminding someone that you're there.
Yeah.
And actively there. And then another one is ask them if they want to talk about it. And they go into more depth saying, I like to confide in some of my friends after I self-harm or when I am thinking about doing it. Just knowing I have support and can talk about my problems means a lot to me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Number 3 is reassure them that they aren't a burden, because, you know, a lot of times they feel...
That's like the number one thing that's always said anytime someone's struggling or, you know, needs something. Is the number one thing is just, I don't need to be a burden on you. I don't want my problems to be on anybody else. Then it's just like, come on, that's what friends are for. That's what friends are here for. So...
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's a super important one.
Right. And number 4, visit them or ask them if you want to hang out, if they want to hang out. Number 5 is encourage them to get help by talking to a professional. And number 6, kind of related to that, says, no, it's not your job to fix them, and make sure to take care of yourself. Because sometimes you get so caught up, and I know sometimes my reaction is, fix it. Bob the Builder, can we fix it? Yes, we can. And but the reality is, sometimes just being there for the person, texting them, talking with them, saying you're not a burden.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to hang out? I can listen to you. You know, I'm okay with hearing your rants. That means a lot to the person.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those things, too, in the part of that where it says, you know, make sure you take care of yourself, too. You know, you can't be the one that fixes them, but you also can't go into things if you're not healthy. Like, if you're not coming from a healthy space, you may not be a help for that person.
Right.
You may actually be hurting them. Earlier in this podcast, we were talking about, you know, misery loves company. So if you're in a bad spot and you're trying to help someone else in a bad spot, the two of you are just going to end up commiserating.
Right.
So not only do you need to let other people help you, but you can't help other people if you're in a bad spot. So, you know, find those people who are in a good spot and lean on them and let them be there for you. And then, you know, you can be there for them when they're in a bad spot and you're in a good spot. So it's important. Always make sure that you keep yourself lifted up by others. And that way you can help lift up others. You can't do one thing without the other. You know, and it's good. You got to have good people around you. Stay positive. Like, God put the people in your life that, you know, are going to be there. So it's just, and that's the way that works.
Amen.
Yeah.
So who's our saint of the day?
So our saint of the day, actually, what I wanted to go into was our scripture. But our saint of the day is Polycarp.
Polycarp.
Which means many. Was it many
in,
carp?
In Greek, poly means many. And then, you know, you get carp, so that's fish. So I'm sure you can make a connection there somewhere.
But our gospel reading for today is Matthew 16, 13 through 19. It's a very common reading, so you'll probably know it. When Jesus went into the region of Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He then said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." It's a pretty awesome.
Yeah.
It's also, it's pretty amazing too, the part where, you know, he's just like, "I never told you who I am, but God showed you."
Right.
You know?
It didn't matter what people around him were saying.
Yeah.
He sensed it himself. He heard it himself.
Yeah. And so, you know, like I said, it's a pretty common one. It's like, who do you say I am?
Right.
Who do they say I am?
Right.
And it's just, you know, Christ was so abundant to them and like who he was, and his followers just knew it, and so, but other people were like, "Oh, he's John the Baptist," or "No, he's just one of the prophets," you know, he's, you know, and but his followers truly knew, like, "No, you're the Christ, man."
Yeah,
I know it, dude. I, you know, there's no way you're not Christ,
right?
Which the funny thing is like Jesus's last name was not Christ,
right? He didn't have any brothers, Stephen Christ.
So he was the Christ, the Son of Man, the Messiah, the one that was foretold to come, the God among men. So for his disciples to see that, you know, and for others to notice something about him that it was different. So it's just amazing, you know?
Yeah.
But our saint of the day,
right?
Saint Polycarp was a martyr, an interesting martyr, because he was 86 years old.
Wow!
Which he was a disciple of John, so he, Saint John, you know, he was around for the original disciples, in the like origins of the church. So for him to live to be 86 years old back then, and many of his friends and followers begged him to make a sacrifice to false gods and these false idols to show that way he could continue living and stay, and he would, you know, be spared. But he chose not to.
Right.
And he chose to give his life for his faith.
Right.
And he said, in 86 years of life, Jesus has never forgotten about me or left me. So I cannot forget about him and leave him.
Wow.
Yeah. And he was martyred, and, you know, he chose to give his life for his faith. And that is why he is a saint.
Amazing. You
know, just an amazing story to think that he made it that long into life. And 86 years old, martyred. But yeah, Saint Polycarp, our saint of the day.
Very good.
Yeah. You got some music?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a movie coming out. I haven't looked into it too much, but I've been hearing a lot about it through social media. It's called The Shack. And they have their soundtrack coming out this Friday. And the soundtrack is actually pretty impressive. It has Tim McGraw and Faith Hill on it, Lady Antebellum, Hillsong United, Kelly Clarkson, Francesca Battistelli, Lecrae, For King and Country, Skillet's on there.
Okay.
Rockin' Hard. So that's coming out this Friday, a new movie and a new soundtrack. Also coming out this Friday, Hillsong Young and Free, which is out of Hillsong Church. It's a young EDM band, youth ministry band. They have an acoustic project coming out called Youth Revival Acoustic.
It's not Hillsong United?
This is a separate band out of that church. It gets confusing, but they have three different bands out of that church right now.
Interesting.
So they have Hillsong, then they have Hillsong United, and then they have Hillsong Young and Free.
Oh, so wait.
So right, soon they're going to come out with Hillsong Old and Decrepit. That's going to be the next one.
But I'll tell you, you young whippersnapper,
that is too loud. You know we set the levels down here.
We're going to do some doo-wop.
Right. Hey, I like doo-wop. And all the kids in our teens in our program are going, I'm not surprised. You do look pretty old. But Youth Revival is a follow-up. So it's got all the same songs that's on the regular Youth and Revival album, but this is stripped down and acoustic. So that'll be out in stores this Friday as well. And a couple things I wanted to mention really quick. This is what gets me excited as a radio programmer. This spring, if you listen to Christian radio, I have a feeling a lot of the new songs that are going to be coming out on radio stations are actually going to be very, very, very catchy and very fun to listen to.
Oh, yeah?
Unspoken has a new single out, and it's not being played on K-Love yet, but if you have SiriusXM The Message, they've started playing it. It's called The Cure.
Oh, okay.
And it's on their new album, and it's very, very poppy. A lot of poppy rhythmic songs coming out this spring.
Awesome.
Who else? There's also a new song by The Afters. I was playing a snippet of that while we were doing a song prep. Not song prep, but podcast prep today. And there's a few other artists as well. Jordan Feliz and a few others. Blanca from Group One Crew. She's got a new song called Different Drum. So definitely keep your ears tuned to Christian radio. If you haven't tried it out yet, definitely try it out this spring. Because if you're looking for something that's just poppy and fun, but raises that banner high, there's some songs that do that very well. Sound very top 40-ish, but not a crossover because it still has that strong
awesome
message.
Yeah. And it's really awesome just to see the diversity in the music. I love it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that you can find just about anything in Christian music, and it's awesome. And, you know, you can have that upbeat, you can have that low key,
you can get acoustic, reggae, you can get country.
It's just awesome. You can have
ska.
Yeah.
Ska.
How about some za?
Still looking for that. I have found Christian polka. A couple podcasts ago, we were talking about that. Oh. I was saying, I'm not sure if there's Christian polka, but there is.
Of course you found Christian polka.
He reigns with an accordion.
Unbelievable.
Here's the gospel accordion to John.
That reminds me, if anyone out there is an aspiring musician and you want to send us something we can play a sample of on the podcast,
sure.
I will figure out how to do that, and it would be pretty awesome.
We'll give you some spins.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool to be able to bump in with some... independent
Christian polka.
If you can play the accordion and you want to play some music for our podcast, I mean, send it our way. Steve@baconsmiles.org. So again, Steve@baconsmiles.org with your submissions. All right, so it's news of the weird time.
It's news of the weird time. And you actually gave me this one story. I've got two here. But the first one that you had mentioned, and I was like, oh, shoot. It's Iceland's president, which I didn't realize that they were established enough to have a president. But apparently they do.
Well, Iceland is the green one. Right. Iceland is actually the really great vacation spot.
Yeah. Yeah, Greenland and Iceland swapped.
Yeah.
But Iceland's president... has apparently very strong views on pineapple pizza and has said that if he has the ability to ban it, he would.
Yeah, he was at like a meet and greet at a high school in northern Iceland, and during the little question and answer time, the kid asked the president, how do you feel about pineapple on pizza? And he had some very strong feelings. Listen, if I was in the business of making laws...
Yeah,
I would make it illegal to put pineapple on pizza. I mean, that's great.
Yes.
I am also for the banning of pineapple on pizza.
Really? I love it.
Oh, terrible. No, it's not pizza.
You get some pineapple and some ham?
Nope. I'll take ham. Ham belongs on pizza. You know what doesn't belong on pizza? Fruit. It doesn't belong.
But
it doesn't belong.
You put tomato sauce on pizza. Tomato's a fruit.
Yeah, but it's not really a fruit. Yeah. I'm talking like fruit salad. Listen.
Okay.
So here's the thing. Knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in fruit salad. All
right. That settles it. The second story that I found is, with all the talk about fake news.
Yeah.
I'm glad that we have a real news story here. Generating out of New York. It's an important question. What is a Snuggie? And this was actually brought to court. And the Snuggie has decided that, yes, indeed, it is a blanket.
Was this really a question? So yes. This was brought to court? You're telling me taxpayer dollars went to describing whether or not a Snuggie was a blanket?
Because the discussion was, since it has sleeves... They were saying it resembles garments and vestments, or professional or scholastic gowns and robes.
But what's the purpose of saying, like, is it because it's clothing, it's tax-free?
Is it because it's a blanket? Bringing the Snuggie as a blanket will need to pay 8.5% in duty tax instead of 14.9%.
Oh, instead of 14.9%. Right. So by saying it's a blanket, it's cheaper for you.
Right.
But, I mean, all right.
Apparently they're still selling enough that this needs to be a discussion.
Well, that's the thing. I'm trying to think of who's the last person you knew who had a Snuggie? And what... All right, so if you have a Snuggie out there...
Right. If you're planning on selling Snuggies, you can sell them at a cheaper rate because you're spending less trying to import them.
I mean, or you could just buy a bathrobe and wear it backwards.
Yeah.
It'll serve two purposes.
Pretty much. Tying the backside of that would be a little difficult.
I mean, the Snuggie doesn't even have a belt, does it? No, right? It doesn't have like a
I haven't paid that much attention to Snuggies to really know.
But again, all right, so here's the thing. On Bacon
Next
Smiles
podcast, we're wearing Snuggies.
On Bacon Smiles Facebook page, facebook.com/BaconSmilesMinistry. I want to know what your favorite pizza topping is. Tell me what your favorite pizza topping is. You can comment on this video on Facebook. You can comment on Periscope, Twitter, Instagram. We're on there on all those things. I want to know what your favorite pizza topping and whether or not you think pineapple is an acceptable pizza topping
It is.
It is not. So what is your favorite pizza topping? You can even tell me your favorite pizza type. Chicken bacon ranch is a great pizza. That is an acceptable pizza. Chicken bacon ranch, all acceptable toppings. Pineapple, no. So,
that's where the line is drawn in the sand.
As always, we really thank all of you who listen, all of you who make this podcast possible. The music is playing us out. We got a Facebook comment. Pineapple not acceptable. Thank you, Jackie.
Come on, Jackie. There goes our streak. So our Snapchat streak is over.
All right. So thank you guys. Bakersmiles.org. There's a contact form. You can message us there. Thank you, Linda, for sending us an email. As always, we love the fact that you listen. So I'm Steve Patera.
Evan Shaw Mumford.
Keep smiling and God bless.